may know this as the Great Commission. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. So I've been told before that I have a really weird sense of humor. I find great humor in people's cell phones going off at really bad times. One of my favorites is when a cell phone goes off in church. Thank you, Megan. That's my thoughts exactly. A cell phone goes off in church. Everybody, it might be a ringtone from the back of the church, but everybody has the same reaction. They grab their pockets, they reach around, they go to their purse, they have that panic-stricken look on their face, like, please let that not be me. Everybody but one person, the person whose phone is actually going off. They start sweating profusely, they get frozen, can't move, going, I'm embarrassed that I have that as my ringtone. I, on the other hand, just sit and laugh. As much so that even on our wedding day, Jamie and I were right in the middle, I believe, of our vows, and somebody's cell phone went off. I was kind of relieved. I don't like attention drawn to me, so it was kind of nice. For that very moment, all eyes were off of Jamie and I and on our friend Christy, who was sat there right in the middle and did the sweating profusely, embarrassed look, kept saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, as everybody just looked and shook their head at her. It is something that we have this natural reaction. There was a test study done that those with cell phones, when you get a text message or your phone rings, your body will actually produce dopamine, which gives you this sense of euphoric pleasure. It gives you this sense. So we actually become addicted to our phones ringing. Because we love that. We love that feeling of somebody wants to get a hold of us. So I started to think about this. And as we're talking about God's call for our life, what is our reaction when God calls us to something? Do we get that same great pleasure? Do we enjoy the fact that God is calling, or do we kind of hit the ignore button? The best is my view here as that went, and to see how many people reached for their pocket or their purse, even when that went off. So depending on our call, and when God calls us, we have many different reactions. We get scared, we get nervous, we may get excited. My prayer for myself is that I can become a man who every time gets excited and wants to answer yes when God calls. My prayer for you is that you will be that individual that gets excited when God calls you to something new, whether a new season, a new adventure, a new something, that you get equally excited. I would actually say I physically long and hurt for our church to be a church that gets that excited. That when God calls our church to something, we get so excited that we can't help but just want to run forward and go. We are a church of roughly 1,900 members. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of others that call this church their church home. But my question to you is, what percent of us really are willing to answer when God calls us to something? More importantly, what is stopping us from answering that call with that amount of excitement? I've had the advantage of walking next to many people as God has called them to a new and exciting time. In 20-plus years of youth ministry, there seems to be one common thread, a few common threads that I want to share with you today of people that get that excited when God calls them and are willing. Point number one, they are always ready for the call. When God's reaching out to them, when God has a season for them or something, they're ready for it. They put their entire selves into the call. They're prepared for when God calls them. One of my good friends, very talented musician, and his father was a worship leader. So for many years, I talked to my friend and I said, why aren't you, you know, you're so talented, you lead worship at camps, you do all this, why are you not working for a church? Why are you not doing this every Sunday? And he told me, you know, John, you don't, he said, you kind of understand. Working in a church is not always the most fulfilling place. A lot of times you get beaten up and 5% of the people hate you, but they speak louder than the 95%. And he kept saying, I don't want to deal with that church drama. I don't want to deal with that. So he ran from the call for many years. Now about 3 years ago, a pastor asked him if he would be willing to have coffee with him. My friend said, sure, and told his wife, well, if nothing else, I'm going to get Starbucks out of it. And he went and met with this pastor and said, I'll give you 20 minutes. Well, those 20 minutes became half an hour, became an hour, became a couple hours. And as he came back, his wife, you know, said, how was that? And he said, well, after talking with the pastor, that is one thing I want to give my life for. And he agreed to become their worship leader. When you're ready for the call, when God is working in you, you're so willing, you're so ready to say, that is the one thing I want to give my call. That's one thing I want to give my life to. I want to be ever present in honoring God in everything that I do. I apologize to whoever this week shared this quote with me. I don't remember if it was a pastor walking by. I don't remember if it was one of the confirmands in the many interviews that just got all smushed together. When you have 17 interviews in a little over a week, it's a little daunting to remember who said exactly what. But it was worth a quote, and as last night I was working, putting the final touches on the sermon, I had it written down next to my computer, and I really wanted to share it. A lot of people know the Bible and know God, but they don't know how to walk and to hear his voice. That's our call. A lot of people know the Bible, right? One of my best friends who I share often with the kids and youth group about that I went to school with, he's a very, if you can be, devout atheist. And we talk often about God and different stuff. He purposely knows the Bible almost as good as anybody I know, because he wants to find ways to disprove it. He knows the Bible, but he doesn't know what it's like to walk and to actually hear God's voice. Point number two, they don't fear losing control. That's one of the things that I struggle with. When I answer God's call and God calls me to do something, I kind of want to have an argument with him. I want to say, but you don't understand. I have this fear inside of, God, I don't think you see the big picture. Get that? God not seeing the big picture? God's going, oh, John, yes, I see the big picture. It's okay to lose control. It's okay to give your entire self to God where you don't have to fear that. You don't have to wonder, well, if God's calling us to do this, how are we going to provide? God has that. He would not have given us the call if he didn't have all the details already figured out for us. In the interviews that I talked about with each of these confirmands, I brought up to them. I said, in about 4 years, we're going to be having another meeting, and we're going to be talking about graduation Sunday. What does graduation Sunday look for you as a youth? What does it look like for us as a youth program? And what does it look like for us as a church? Where are we going to be? What are we going to be doing? Is your faith, because each and every one of them talked about this great faith experience they had going through confirmation, is their faith going to be in a better place? Are they going to continue to be growing? What does that look like? And I dare ask you, what does it look like for you in even a year from now? Where's your faith in a year? Where's our church in a year? Where's your small group in a year? Hopefully, you're answering the call with yes, and God is in it, and he's growing you. Because to me, being fearful is worse than actually ignoring the call, because it shows a lack of faith in God and his plan he has for you. One of my favorite quotes, I love quotes, is Mark Twain. 20 years from now, you'll be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did do. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. As you see up there above me, the exact point. It's safe in the harbor, but a boat is meant for so much more. You're meant for so much more, not to be just safe. And the final thing that you recognize if you're able to say yes to the call of God is to understand that the size of the call doesn't change. You don't let the size of the call change your answer. The size of the call is not what's important. It's the simple fact that you're willing to say yes. You think of Daniel in the lion's den, and we think of, you know, the power that Daniel had to stand up and say, God, I will honor you, and I will go into the den of lions because I know you have my back. I know you can support me. But here's the thing. Daniel said yes many times before that. It wasn't just the first one big call. It was all the little calls that led up to Daniel being a great leader. Again, in my years of ministry, it's been fun. It's been great to see multiple youth become full-time missionaries around the world. I've had the pleasure of seeing many more answer a call to full-time ministry. I've walked with hundreds as they embarked on life-changing decisions, from adoptions to teaching Sunday school, from full-time ministry to finding the right spouse, from purchasing a new home to starting a new job. And the most important part is they said yes. I shared with our senior high youth on mission trip this year a couple stories of different youth that I've got a chance to walk through life with. The amazing part to me was that each of them said yes. I shared the story of one of my youth that had become a full-time missionary and the struggles they have. And I shared with them also about the same kid in the same grade in the same youth program that he feels like his call is to go into Dow every day and show God to his coworkers. Both of those calls are equally important because both of them said yes to what God had for them. About 4 years ago, my wife and I were sitting, and I'm going to do my best to not get as emotional. My wife and I were sitting in a sermon. The pastor had talked about sometimes God just, he challenges you. Sometimes he just says, you know, are you willing to do this? Not because he wants you to go do that, but he wants to know that you're willing. He wants to know that you're okay to say yes to him. So that car ride home was interesting, and Jamie and I, of course, played, you know, what might it be God's calling us? What are we not saying yes to? And we went through all sorts of different things and said, yeah, we'd do that, you know, because we knew we'd set up some stipulations with God, right? Isn't that how it works? Like, I'll say yes, but you need to make sure this, this, and this happens. So we set up some stipulations, and God knew our desire was not to leave the city of Midland because we were helping out with Jamie's mom. And there's different things that we weren't going to bend on. And one of the things that my wife brought up that day was, how'd you feel if God told us we needed to go find a new church? Okay. You know, thinking again, why would he do that? We have our church. We're not leaving Midland. It's a very safe bet. I can say yes to that. Well, that started a process for both my wife and I of God saying little things. Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to live countercultural to the things that God has, or to answer yes to the things God has for us? Are you willing to, for myself, as being on a board of directors, vote myself out of a job? Are you willing to put your kids first and your family first? Yes, God, I can do that. Are you willing to live, I think below paycheck to paycheck would be a fair assumption. Sure, God. Every time we said yes, he came through. It's a hard thing when you're sitting there And the youth have heard this story before, and it doesn't get easier sharing it. It's a hard thing when you have to tell your wife, we don't have money for Christmas. You kind of start to get mad at God for having to say yes. Well, long story short, lots of yeses later, lots more tears. God had a call for Jamie and I to come here. I've shared this before, that it's a lot easier to look back and say yes than it was to say yes going forward with all those. But God knew he needed those little yeses. And he provided all along. Amazing story that I'll get into some other day, and the youth have heard many times, was that same Christmas saying, no, we don't have money. I go and put gas in a car, and a $50 bill flies and lands on my shoe. God's going to take care of those yeses. The thing is, if I wouldn't have been able to say yes to all those small things, I would have never been able to have the power to say yes to the big. I would have missed out on so many golden opportunities. I would have missed out on so many things that God had in store. And as difficult as those months were, almost a year, my wife and I often look back on it and say, surprisingly, that was one of the best years of our lives. Being so reliant on God. Today, in first service, they read a unison prayer. I'm going to ask Terry, I think she has it up there for her, bring it up there for us. If you were here first service, youth, you're not allowed to share. But do any of those words look familiar? I stole a unison prayer. About a year ago, my wife surprised me with a concert to go see Toby Mac. I'm kind of a Toby Mac fan. And he had shared about his song. And this was lyrics from one of his songs that was a prayer that started as a prayer he said every morning when he woke up. God, I'm clay in your hands. He's talking about the fact that, you know, if you think of clay, mold me, make me what you want me to be. And then in there you'll see, what is it to gain the whole world yet lose our soul? And that can be found in Matthew 16:26. Jesus is predicting his death to the disciples. And he's telling them, I'm with you always. What is there to gain in this world, but yet lose your entire soul for? It's not worth it. I want you to understand that God has answer after answer if you're willing to say yes. Let that be your prayer. Let that be my prayer. Let that be our prayer. Continue to say the little yeses, because I'll be honest, God's timing and everything doesn't make sense. I stand before you as a youth pastor that the main reason I even learned of this job or knew of this job makes no sense. How in the world can you explain to me that taking a part-time job for the City of Midland Parks and Rec Department would lead me into a full-time youth ministry position? Other than God, there's no explanation. All he asks us is to say yes, not to wonder the details. So in closing, I want to do one last quick thing. I would like all the confirmands to stand up here like you were and turn and face the church, please. So these are our newest members of the church, right? So I want to first talk to you guys as you're facing the church, to the youth. I challenge you to be the change God wants for you in this world, wants you to be in this world. This church before you, they love you. This church before you, they will support you. This church before you, we'll struggle to understand you. but in that this church will love you. Understand that there are some things that they will not see the same as you. Understand that they will have a hard time wrapping their heads around the idea of some of the things you want to do. But also understand that they will love and support you. Church, with these confirmands in front of you, I have also a challenge for you. I drilled it into their head often, as I do in every year of confirmation, that this, don't take this vow lightly that you make. That it is a big deal. You're making a promise. And your word is kind of important. But you, church, also made a vow today. So as you made that promise today, I ask you, church, not to take your vow lightly either. When you feel that urge to say, oh, you kids, or you get mad, I ask you to stick out your tongue a little bit and bite down really hard. Just because you don't think it should be done that way doesn't mean God hasn't called them to do something differently. These confirmands and the youth are striving and trying their best, and they're going to make mistakes. But they are an equal part of this church. They are members of this church, and it is our job to love on them. You guys may be seated. Thank you. So in closing, I want you to understand, if nothing else you got out of today, know that your little yeses will help make the big yeses that much easier and that much better. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. Sorry, I didn't officially say that. And I'm going to ask you to just pray with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we as a church, we thank you for a wonderful day of celebration. We thank you for just an opportunity to invest back in these youth. Thank you for the visitors and the families. But God, thank you as a church for a day to celebrate. A day to celebrate these confirmands. And I pray that you will help each and every one of us learn to answer the call with a yes every time. That we may be able to say yes even before we know all the details, because God, we know you have it. Thank you so much. We love and we thank you. Amen.
I invite you to stand as you are able. Let's sing together The Potter's Hand.